Chapter 2. In Jerry Rabbo's book, The Untold Life Stories of 50 Jewish Messiahs, he describes Jacob Frank's philosophy. Although Jacob Frank was born 50 years after the death of Sabbatai Zevi, he deserves to be regarded as Sabbatai's true successor. He extended the paradoxical teachings of Zevi that the coming of the Messianic Age had transformed sexual prohibitions of the Bible into permissions and even obligations. According to Frank, engaging in sexual orgies became the means to purify the soul from its sins. Debauchery became therapy. Frank convinced his followers that the only way for their special form of Judaism to survive was for them to outwardly become Christians, just as the Donma had descended into the world of Islam. Born to the son of a Polish Sabbatean in 1726, Frank grew up to be a heretical rabbi who claimed to be the reincarnation of both the self-proclaimed Messiah Sabbatai Zevi and the biblical patriarch Jacob. Frank created a religion, now referred to as Frankism, which was instigated by the Lurian Kabbalah and expanded on the redemption through sin philosophy made popular by Zevi. Jacob Frank asserted that God, the Creator, was different from the God who had revealed himself to the Israelites. He believed the biblical God was evil, belief widely held in Gnostic circles. Where Frank separated himself was by rejecting every moral law and commandment, and declaring that the only way to a new society was through the total destruction of the present civilization. He insisted that child sacrifice, rape, incest, and the drinking of blood were perfectly acceptable and necessary religious rituals. It did not take long for the Jewish authorities in Poland to excommunicate Frank and his followers due to his heretical doctrines, which included deification of himself and other controversial concepts such as purification through transgression. The Frankists held annual springtime lamb festivals, which consisted of a celebratory dinner that included drug use, sacrifice, nudity, and the exchanging of spouses and daughters for religious sex. Frank totally rejected the traditional interpretation of the Torah. He converted to both Islam and Catholicism. He often slept with his followers, as well as his own daughter. While preaching a doctrine that the best way to imitate God was to cross every boundary, transgress every taboo, and mix, as he claimed God did, the sacred with the profane. At the height of his popularity, approximately 50,000 Jews or ex-Jews, crypto-Jews, considered themselves his disciples. This was far less than Sabbatai Zevi, his messianic predecessor, who had over 20 times as many followers in the prior century. Despite the smaller following, Frank's cult would grow to include some of Europe's royalty, nobility, and richest bankers. For Frank, the central theological point was the garbing of the holy into the unholy. In this pseudo-Gnostic perspective, the holy evil world was a creation not of Yahweh, but of an evil creator God, and yet, God had become manifest and present in the world, thus transgressing the boundaries between pure and impure. Human beings, according to Frank, to imitate God, likewise must enter into the realm of the profane. Eve Frank, his daughter, called the Lady, or the Holy Matron, served as a central figure in the sex rituals of the sect while he was still alive. After his death, she continued to run the sect in Offenbach, and later in Poland. According to Jacob Frank, everything that has ever been till this day has been done so the seed of the Jews be maintained, and that the name of Israel not be forgotten. But now, there is no more need for commandments or for prayers, but only to listen and do, and go on until we come to a certain hidden place. Gershom Scholem famously said that people will always remember Jacob Frank as one of the most frightening phenomena in the whole of Jewish history, and was a religious leader who, whether for purely self-interested motives or otherwise, was in all his actions a truly corrupt and degenerate individual. Jacob Frank himself candidly summed up his own philosophy in a single remark. It is one thing to worship God, and quite another to follow the path that I have taken. According to Frank, one had to free oneself of all laws, conventions, and religions, to adopt every conceivable attitude and to reject it, and to follow one's leader step by step into the abyss. the annihilation of every religion and positive system of beliefs was the true way he expected his believers to follow. Jacob Frank taught that in order to ascend, one must first descend. In Frank's own words, no man can climb a mountain until he has first descended to its foot. Therefore, we must descend and be cast down to the bottom rung, for only then can we climb to the infinite. This is the mystic principle of Jacob's ladder, which I have seen, and which is shaped like a V. Again, I did not come into this world to lift you up, but rather to cast you down to the bottom of the abyss. Further than this, it is impossible to descend, nor can one ascend again by virtue of one's own strength, for only the Lord can raise one up from the depths by the power of his hand. Frank went on to explain that the descent into the abyss required not only the rejection of all religions and conventions, but also the commission of strange acts, which in turn demanded voluntary abasement, so that libertinism, disregard of authority, and the state of utter shamelessness, which led to the tikkun, rectification of the soul, became one and the same thing. To overcome these opposing powers, which are the gods of other religions, it was imperative that one be perfectly silent, even deceitful. This was the mystic principle of the burden of silence, a new version of the original Sabbatean injunction against appearing as one really was. Frank articulated this need for silence as well as its burden. Indeed, this is the principle of the true way itself. Just as a man who wishes to conquer a fortress does not do it by means of making a speech, but must go there himself with all his forces, so we too must go our way in silence. It is better to see than to speak, for the heart must not reveal what it knows to the mouth. We are under the burden of silence. Here we must be quiet and bear what is needful. And that is why it is a burden. When a man goes from one place to another, he should hold his tongue. It is the same as with a man drawing a bow. The longer he holds his breath, the further the arrow will fly. These are some of the main features of Frank's Kabbalistic interpretations and his religious nihilism. Among the Frankists, an astonishing and clear-cut ideology of Jewish territorialism developed. As stated by a Frankist writer in Prague, Israel's exile was not a consequence of its sins at all, but was part of a plan to bring about the destruction of the Kelepot all over the world. As a result, even if several thousand or tens of thousands of Jews returned to the land of Israel, nothing would have been completed. According to the same author, this new doctrine of the exile was a supposedly secret mystical principle which was hidden from all the sages until it was revealed in Poland. In his classic book, To Eliminate the Opiate, Volume 2, Rabbi Marvin S. Antleman explains where Jacob Frank's God is financing. Frankfurt, at the time, was the headquarters of the Jesuit, Adam Weishaupt, founder of the Illuminati, as well as Rothschild Brothers' financial empire. This is worth repeating. Frankfurt was the birthplace of both the Illuminati and the Rothschild Empire. When Jacob Frank entered the city, the alliance between the two had already begun. Weishaupt provided the conspiratorial resources of the Jesuit order, while the Rothschilds contributed the money. What was missing was a means to spread the agenda of the Illuminati, and that the Frankists added with their network of agents throughout the Christian and Islamic worlds. Jacob Frank became instantly wealthy because he was given a nice handout by Meyer Amschel Rothschild of Frankfurt. Chapter 3. May 1st, 1776 was the formal date that Adam Weishaupt officially founded the Order der Perfektibilistin, the Order of Perfektibilitists, also known as the Illuminati of Bavaria. Weishaupt was the son of a Jewish Kabbalist rabbi in Bavaria, but educated by the Jesuits who converted him to Catholicism after his father died when he was 5. He eventually became a priest, but defected and formed an alliance with Lord Mayor Rothschild, who financed the Illuminati agenda. When Adam Weishaupt formed the Order of the Illuminati, he arranged the timing of key events by the Kabbalistically arranged numbers in a manner which would add to numbers of greatest occult significance. For example, he chose May 1st, because May, the fifth month, added to the first day equals 6. Weishaupt chose 1776, because the four numbers of this year added up to 21. 1 plus 7 plus 7 plus 6 is 21. Further, the sacred number 6 plus 21 is 27. It was another number with occult Kabbalistic power. Because it is formed by multiplying 3 and 9, Weishaupt carefully chose this date because he believed that even the greatest plan would be doomed to failure if it was not carried out at the most numerically advantageous time. The long-term political goals of their occult secret society called for the execution of the following plan. 1. Abolish all monarchies and all ordered governments. 2. Abolition of private property and inheritances. 3. Abolition of patriotism and nationalism. 4. Abolition of family life and the institute of marriage. 5. The establishment of communal education for children. 6. Abolition of all religion. In his book, Sabbatai HaSivi, Labor, Zionism, and the Holocaust, Jewish author Barry Chamish says that the Rothschilds' goal was to control the wealth of the planet, and the Frankist vision was the destruction of Jewish ethics to be replaced by a religion based on the exact opposite of God's intentions. When these factions blended, a bloody war against humanity, with the Jews on the front lines, erupted, and it is reaching its very pinnacle at this moment. In 1777, the Illuminati began to cooperate with all the Masonic lodges, especially the Grand Orient, with the purpose of infiltrating them. Even the Duke of Brunswick, Grand Master of Germany, said in 1794 that the Illuminati controlled the Masonic lodges. In time, the Illuminati won control of every Masonic order in the world. When Weishaupt became a member of the Grand Orient, Meyer Amschel Rothschild, the founder of the Rothschild dynasty, provided the financial backing for the lodge, according to the British historian Nesta Webster. According to Rabbi Marvin Antleman, Rothschild convinced Weishaupt to accept the Frankist doctrine and afterward financed the Illuminati. He aimed to fulfill the Frankist plot subverting the world's religions, and the Zionist objective of instituting a global government which would be ruled by a king from Jerusalem. In Latin, Lucifer literally means light-bearer. As its name implied, members of the Illuminati possessed the light of Lucifer. They believed that people who possessed it were truly enlightened and capable of governing. Their avowed purpose and goal was the establishment of a Nouveau Ordo Seclorum, a New World Order, or One World Government, ruled by its capital in Jerusalem. Meyer Rothschild summoned 12 affluent men to Frankfurt and asked them to pool their financial resources. He then presented the 25-point plan that would enable them to gain control of the wealth, natural resources, and manpower of the entire world. This plan included instructions on how to preach liberalism to usurp political power, initiate class warfare, dismantle and reconstruct all existing institutions, and remain invisible until the very moment when the Illuminati had gained such strength that no cunning or force can undermine it. Other highlights of their plan included use of mob psychology to control the masses. They would systematically advocate and use alcoholic liquors, drugs, moral corruption, and all forms of vice to corrupt the youth. In addition, they planned to use the press for propaganda to control all outlets of public information while remaining in the shadows, clear of blame. The plan called for the masses to be made to believe that they had been the prey of criminals, and then they would restore order and to appear as the saviors. A key to their success was the infiltration of Freemasonry to take advantage of the Grand Orient lodges, cloaking the true nature of their work in philanthropy. They plotted to use this influence to spread their atheistic materialism ideology amongst the Goyim through systematic deception, high-sounding phrases, and popular slogans. Ultimate world government was the goal, through corporate monopolies so that even the largest fortunes of the Goyim will depend on them. There would be the all-out use of economic warfare with a combination of high taxes and unfair competition. They intended to control a sufficient police force and domestic soldiers to protect their interests. They would call this paradigm the New World Order and eventually appoint a dictator. Fritz Springmeier, an author who is currently serving time in federal prison, has written several books on Illuminati bloodlines. In The Illuminati Formula to Create an Undetectable Total Mind Control, he described this global communist plan. There is a connection between Marxism and a group of Satanists called Frankists. one of the strongest satanic cults to take control over the Jewish population was called Sabbateanism. Jacob Frank assumed the role of leader of this group, and afterwards, this brand of Satanism was called Frankism. Freud's sexually obsessed theories came from Frankism. Frank taught his followers to convert to another religion and hide behind that religion to practice their Satanism. Adam Weishaupt founded the Order of the Illuminati on approximately the same structural principles as the Jesuit order. He had worked 5 years to develop or modify a system based on that of the Jesuits, which divided the order into three classes. The first was for novices and the lesser illuminated, the second for Freemasons, and the third, the mystery class, was comprised of priests, regents, magicians, and a king. The plan for seizing power was ingeniously simple. They would make the molders of the public opinion into obedient tools, whereupon they would, in Weishaupt's words, surround the princess. As advisors to the elite, they would influence politics in favor of the Illuminati's aims. When entering the order, new brothers vowed, "I shall never use my position or post against another brother." Through the network of Illuminati membership, Meyer Rothschild redoubled his efforts and his banking empire became firmly entrenched throughout Europe. His sons, who became barons in the Austrian Empire, continued to build their father's financial empire and to expand their political influence. In 1785, Meyer Amschel Rothschild moved his entire family to a 5-story dwelling he shared with the Schiff family. He died on September 19, 1812. His will spelled out specific guidelines to be followed and maintained by his descendants. All important posts were to be held only by family members, and only male members were to be involved on the business end. The oldest son of the oldest son was head of the family, unless otherwise agreed upon by the rest of the family, as was the case in 1812, when the family appointed Nathan the patriarch. The family was to intermarry with their own first and second cousins, to keep the fortune in the family, and to maintain the appearance of a united financial empire. This rule became less important in later generations, as they reinforced family goals and married into other fortunes. There was never to be any public inventory made by the courts or otherwise of my estate. Also, I forbid any legal action and any publication of the value of the inheritance. In 1894, a well-known Jewish author, Bernard Lazar, wrote in his book, L'Antisemitism, that Kabbalist Jews surrounded Weishaupt. Confiscated documents show that of 39 Illuminati holding lesser leading positions, 17 were Jews. The higher one looked into their ranks, the larger the percentage of Jews. There were 4 especially important Jews in the Illuminati leadership: Hartwig, Nifalty Hertz, Wesley, Moses Mendelssohn, the banker Daniel von Itzig, and the businessman David Friedlander. The initiated all took a vow to eternal silence, undeviating loyalty and total submission to the order. I pledge to count what is best for the order as my own best. I am ready to serve it with my personal fortune, my honor, and my blood. The friends and enemies of the order shall also become my friends and enemies. Then, to ensure utmost secrecy, the group formally warned each new member, "If you are a traitor and a perjurer, then know that the brothers shall take up arms against you. Do not hope to flee or find a place to hide. Wherever you are, shame, contempt, and the wrath of the brothers shall pursue and torment you to your innermost entrails." The order led most members to believe that the lower degrees of mystery they had reached were the highest. Few members knew about the true purpose of the order. Many members believed themselves to be working towards the improvement of the world. They never guessed that the true or deeper purpose was to establish Nouveau Ordo Seclorum, a global program for world domination. Adam Weishaupt taught, "To some of these Freemasons, we shall not even reveal that we have anything more than what the Freemasons have. All those who are not suitable for the work shall remain in the Masonic Lodge and advance there without knowing anything about the additional system." In time, the Illuminati won control over every Masonic order in the world. The Illuminati moved freely within the many secret societies of the time, seeking to utilize the liberal ideology of Freemasonry as a bait for those who lacked knowledge of its true purpose. All Illuminati are Freemasons, but far from all Freemasons are Illuminati. stated Professor Cassandy and Renner from Munich in their testimonies in April of 1785, implying that only a minority ever reached the highest mystery degrees. Adam Weishaupt himself wrote, "The Masonic Lodge shall be our nursery garden. All those who are not suited to the work shall remain in the Masonic Lodge and advance without knowing anything of the further system." On 20 July 1785, Jacob Lance, a priest acting as a courier for the Illuminati, was hit by lightning while riding his horse and died. Police discovered a list of Illuminati members and some compromising papers sewn into the priest's robe. The local police found other important documents at Lance's house, including detailed instructions for the planned French Revolution. Some of the papers were addressed to the Grand Master of the Lodge Grand Orient in Paris. Everything was handed over to the Bavarian government, which then issued a new ban on secret societies on the 4th of August, 1785. On the 31st of August, the government issued an order to arrest Weishaupt and put a price on his head. The police began looking for other known members of the order, which had successfully infiltrated many important posts in society. In October 1786, they searched the house of Dr. Franz Xaver Zwack in Landshut, where the Illuminati kept their most important papers. In the following year, the police searched Baron Boss's castle in Sandersdorf, and confiscated even more papers concerning the Illuminati's conspiracy against the whole world. The Illuminati were forced to leave their lodges. Despite the ban, they continued to act as ordinary Freemasons. According to Albert Pike, Freemasons, from the start, should be deliberately lied to and misled as to the meaning of the symbols. Masonry, like all the religions, all the mysteries, the Hermeticism and alchemy, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages or the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled. To conceal the truth, which it calls light, from them, and to draw them away from it, truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it, or would pervert it. So Masonry jealously conceals its secrets and intentionally leads conceited interpreters astray.